So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Hi everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law that you watch me cover on WGN-TV every day, into the world of arts and theater, and today the world of dance. Some people who will look very familiar to you, that is if you haven't lived under a rock for the last 20 or so years. I'm a longtime fan of Dancing with the Stars, and you are going to meet a couple of those stars who people get to dance with, because they're here for a show called Savor After Hours, as playing at Broadway Playhouse. If you're just looking at them now, you know, I don't even have to say their names, but Val Schmurkowski, who's been with Dancing with the Stars since 2011, a couple of Mirrorball trophies behind you. That's phenomenal, with Rumor Willis and Laurie Hernandez. And you're also married to one of the other stars of the show, Jenna. Is she like watching you from the side or anything? Because she could join us.
Yeah, she's right there telling me what not to say.
I love it. Is she really right there?
No, okay.
Because she could sit between you. I don't care. And Artem Shigvintsev, who's been with the show since 2014, season 19. You've won two. We're not going to have any losers on the show. You won two. That's important. I do want you guys to know, in case you think you're not talking to a professional dancer, I did represent WGN-TV in Dancing with Chicago Celebrities some years back. Now, I lost, but I blame my professional dance partner for that.
They all do. They all
That's
do.
Usually happens.
Yeah. That's part of the gig.
So thank you for being with me. Thank you for backing me up on that too. I'm going to play this for her. So Savor After Hours is playing at Broadway Playhouse through Chicago 18th. I got to tell you, I mean, I've watched, who hasn't watched Dancing with the Stars for so many years? I do want to talk a little bit about the show, but mostly about the show you're here to do. But Val, I'll start with you. I mean, how cool is it, you know, to be on TV for all these years with, you know, you got the studio audience, but you know, people are watching you all around the country, all around the world. At Broadway Playhouse, and I also tape my show at Broadway Playhouse. I do a television version of this called Backstage, and we're on the same stage.
I recognize the seats behind you.
Exactly. Exactly. So let me ask you, what is it like to be this close to an audience who are, of adoring fans?
The best. That's why I'm here. That's why we love stage performances. You know, mid-season, we shoot Dancing with the Stars in the fall, but throughout the year, I'm going to speak on for both of us. We teach a lot, and we also do live performances a lot, theater performances, stage performances like this. And part of that is because you get that immediate interaction, that immediate response. And also you get to break that fourth wall and, you know, be part of something way more interactive than just dance for the lens. Because, again, the relationship that we have on television, performing for the lens, using our imagination, knowing that there are millions on the other side of it, it's a bit different than seeing real people react in real time. And if we're bad, we know it immediately, not through social media afterwards.
And Artem, I'm going to follow up with you because I mean, I hear what Val says and he's right, but here's the thing. Swanee, your producer, creator, Mark Swanhart, he brought you to a theater that is more intimate than, look, I've interviewed Derek Hough and when he danced with Marley Matlin, who is from Chicago. So yes, those shows have been through here. I've talked to those folks, but of course they're in these grand spaces. And that's fabulous. I mean, and you guys could be filling a grand space, but I love that they brought you to an intimate space, at least what I consider an intimate space in the city. And I'm just sort of curious, Artem, whether they're, you know, even though you're, I understand it's not television, you're with an audience, but it is still, you can see the last row from where you are.
Oh, absolutely. To be honest, I think theater is kind of moving towards more interactive performances than kind of like just performing in front of a huge crowd and you kind of don't see them, don't feel them. I think times changes. I think people want to be part of the show. They don't want to just necessarily observe from the side. They actually want to feel it, see it, be right next to it, and maybe even be part of it, which is, I think, Savor, what's so special about. It is interactive, so the audience actually participate in the show, and there's also seating right on stage where you can pretty much touch us, feel us, and see up close and personal, as you probably have seen it yourself. So.
Yeah, well, I was in the third row. I always like to sit up close. And then I saw those tables on the stage and I thought, how do I move one of those people and take one of those seats? Because that's, you know, but it was during the show. I didn't think that was an appropriate thing to do, but it's never stopped me before.
All the way down when you buy tickets. It's
Now I know. I didn't know. Now, Val, for those people who say, aha, your brother Max, too afraid to appear on stage with you in front of this live audience, that's why he's not here today. What do you say to them?
You're wrong, because he's going to be here in August, and he's going to be on that same stage as we are on right now. We love it. I think what we do translates better in an intimate setting, you know? And so if you pluck us into an arena with 10,000 seats, you know, I don't know if I translate as impactfully, you know, in that back row as I do in an intimate space like Broadway Playhouse. At least the genre of dance that we are a part of, ballroom dance, is about the intricacies and the details. And I think it really translates in this space. So I'm very excited. I'm excited to share the space with Max in August. I'm excited to do so right now with Artem and Jenna. We have an amazing ensemble of dancers as well that I'm very proud to share the stage with. It's a really beautifully scripted, crafted show. And I love that we're in Chicago for the summer.
And yeah, and in fact, by the way, I'll just give the date. Your brother's going to be with you from August 6th. See, I knew that. From August 6th through the 18th. So we will see both of you perform. And I have a request from some women knowing, and you'll both be shirtless, right? It's important that they get to see that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what they'll get? And by the way, speaking of Swanee, your creator and director, sadly, he has no credentials behind him, because all he did was choreograph Baz Luhrmann's La Boheme on Broadway and Celine Dion's tour and Cirque du Soleil. So you're working with a guy who just has no dance background, Artem.
Well, Swanee is amazing, and I'm so happy that he actually brought me to this project. But the first time when I saw Saber After Hours was actually in Napa when debuted. And as soon as I saw the show, I was like, this is an incredible show. I would love to be part of it. And thankfully, things worked out this time around. And yeah, I'm just happy that he saw something in me that I should be part of it. I should participate and be involved. And I'm just very grateful for that.
And of course, I'm being goofy because he's amazingly talented. That was my point.
He's insanely talented.
Yeah.
As a writer, as a director, as just a visionary guy who just sees things, I think, very clear in his mind and exactly what he wants to portray on stage. And he understands how to, I guess, pick people for the right things. And it really is magic. I'm really looking forward to, hopefully after this project, there's going to be some more project that I could be involved.
Yeah. And I know that this show travels. And Val, there is a light story to go. I mean, the show is called Saber After Hours, and it's very tied to my favorite drink, wine. And so talk a little bit about, because there is a theme, lots of goofy things happen, fun things happen throughout the show, but there is this theme. It's like, appreciate wine. In fact, I personally think they should have wine vendors walk in the aisles during the show, because you kind of want to have a glass of wine in your hand while you're watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year when we were in Napa, that's what we did. We had four servings throughout the show. And again, Saber After Hours is a wine inspired show. It's, you know, you don't need to be drinking wine to enjoy it.
No.
But instead of tasting notes, you get these visual descriptions of what you may be feeling when you are enjoying a good glass of wine. But really, it's about savoring, you know, it's also metaphorical, right? Obviously. The parallel of enjoying life and all the different tasting notes in life that you experience, whether they're chaotic, like we have a little section in the show, whether they're more introspective, reflective, like we have in the time of the bottle towards the end. But ultimately, just like wine, life throws a lot of things your way, a lot of different emotional tastes throughout your existence. And the show encompasses all of those. And reminds you to savor all of them.
That is true. And in fact, the dance, I mean, there are different styles of dance that we get. And what I love is, you know, we get to see the moves we watch you guys do on TV, you know, that the sharp, crisp moves I was never able to do. So I'm watching like, I can't figure that out. But the music is great. Now, I try never to give secrets away or surprises away. So I don't, you can say things that you want to say. I'll be careful about it. I will just put it this way. the audience does get involved in a willful way. No one's made to do anything, but you do involve the audience. And in fact, on opening night when I was there, you were very lucky to have a woman. And you might remember, Bell. Her name was Marcy. Does that?
Marcy, yeah.
Yes, you remember Marcy. So she was able to join you. But what kind of, how much fun is it for you when you, and you can say what you want or nothing about why Marcy ends up working with you, but about picking the people from the audience, you have to pick the right people too.
Yeah, we want to kind of, like we talked about earlier, we want to make it interactive and we want to break that fourth wall, but we want to do it tastefully and also creatively. You know, we don't want to stop the show and make it a meet and greet. So I think it's been crafted really well with our choreographer, Casey Money, and also Swanee, our director, to bring in this Marcy and give her a chance to go on this ride. I mean, it feels like a Disney ride more than anything. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm always excited for those moments because there's a lot of spontaneousness.
And what I loved about her in particular was because she goes up, and I imagine a lot of people would do this. They would go up, and first they're not sure what she wanted to go. You wouldn't bring her up if she didn't. But she, at first they're like, what do I do and how do I play? And then after a while, as the scene goes on and you do various things, I mean, it just, they really get into it. I'm assuming that happens almost every night, that all of a sudden it's like they realize this is fun, you know, and I'm going to enjoy it. And by the way, Artem, although we don't have any of the ladies with you now, there is an opportunity as well. A gentleman can make his way up on the stage as well and also participate. You're really creating memories for people that they're not going to forget.
Yeah, and I think that's the goal, for people to live and live with the certain feelings, with the experience that they're not going to forget, you know.
I'm pretty sure on the number that I'm having in mind, I think it's Hey Big Spender comes in at that point. And what I also love, look, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I love the Sinatras and the Bublés, and we get that. I mean, the thing is, the music you're doing, it's different kinds of music, Val. But the truth is, if you love traditional kinds of artists like Sinatra, like Bublé, then you're going to get your fill in this show.
Yeah, I don't want to make this feel like a dated show because it's not.
Well, those are classic. They're classics, and those are classics.
Timeless. Yeah, certain things are timeless. And yeah, this is like a really well-fitted suit, you know, this show is. We feel really comfortable in it. I think there's an S about it that's elegant, sexy, sophisticated, romantic. There's a chivalry about it. There's a comedy about it. There's a sense of humor about it. I just love everything about it, and the soundtrack of it, I think, really elevates the whole thing.
By the way, it's Artemis. Everything, I'm assuming everything is choreographed perfectly, right? There's no, are we getting any improv? I wouldn't know. Do we get any improvisation when you're dancing?
The only improv you're getting is the times when we bring people on stage, even though there is a certain structure we try to follow. But again, as we said, depending on the person who is on stage, that's how you react and feed off. And hopefully you create something different every night. Because, you know, for me personally, performing every day exactly the same thing gets a little, I don't want to say stale, but you do want to experience a little things. And you kind of playing, which I think I appreciate the most about the show, because there is so much character involved in different genres of dances that you have to like act, reenact, and you have certain characters to play, that you find those little things through the dances to like a little bit of the experiment. Steps are staying the same, but I think the performance part of it sometimes does changes depending on a day, depending on the mood, depending on if the person you dance with, one of our, you know, amazing cast members, looking differently you today, you know. And it's kind of, it has a lot of reality in it as well.
Yeah, the steps are kind of like a script, but the emotion that you put into it, the energy, you could say the same line 10 different ways.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like we take those liberties with the steps to deliver those steps depending on how we're feeling. And also, how, again, back to the space and the intimacy of the theater, what the audience has given us. If it's given us energy, then they're bound to get, you know, a lot of energy back.
And I know the night I was there, you got great energy. I know you guys had a lot of fun with us on opening night.
And their audiences, again, opening night, it felt like they were there and they were giving it immediately. There are certain nights like yesterday, for instance, we started off and it was a reluctant audience. Maybe they weren't a lot of Dancing with the Stars fans, but just theater fans or Chicago fans that saw the sign, wanted to go see some theater, and they weren't sure. And you just saw us kind of build that rapport with them, where at the end of the night, it was a resounding standing ovation. And I love that too. I love to earn that applause. I love to earn that standing O at the end of the night.
So actually, if you walk, it's interesting. If you were to come on and say, ah, this is a different kind of audience. This is one that's, as you say, a bit resistant. You see that, that's a welcome challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, yeah, you want to win them over. And that's really the bigger compliment. No offense to our fans. We love our fans. But there's some, you know, there's some people that come in and anything will be enough. And then there are people that come in and they don't know anything about us. We have no rapport. They don't know how good or bad or whatever we've done, whatever memories we've created with them already. So now we're just starting off at zero and we're building that trust and building that rapport. For me, that's a huge compliment to get that, you know, husband that got dragged to the theater by his wife to see some guys that she watches on her favorite reality show, to have him come up and be like, wow, that was really impressive. I had a blast. I don't even like dance like that. That to me is a huge compliment to what we do.
Yeah. I also love that, as I said, the different styles of dance. Look, I don't know a ton about dance, but like I can actually identify Fosse when I see it. And in Big Spender, we get some Fosse moves. Do you, Artem, do you guys enjoy the fact that there are, I'm going to word it this way. Are there certain choreographers that you admire so much that you say, I love when we do, be it Fosse, be it somebody else, but you say, I love when we do that person's choreography?
Well, I think we was very fortunate of having Casey Money, who choreographed the show, Saber. And he's incredibly talented and he's experienced in all the genres and styles of dance. And I think through the show, you can kind of see the little pops of different influences that he had through his, you know, career of being a dancer to apply on the show. And I think it's very tastefully done, you know. And I honestly, I admire any type of dancing as long as it has passion behind it and as long as it has that, like, I want to do extremely well. You know, I think it's very fascinating to see people who are very passionate about things. You know, I think that's what kind of draws you in. Into like, oh, this is really cool, because you see that passion come through. And I think the show based on that. I think the show is based on that passionate numbers, passionate ideas. And when everything comes together and everybody collaborate on that level of that they put the same amount of effort and the same amount of passion into it, that's when the magical things have happened. And that's what memorable moments have happened. And I think that's what people striving to go to see, whether it's going to be theater or performance in television or anywhere. I think that's the essence that I think is very important to have.
You guys are doing, you know, a lot of shows a week, and I don't know if that's more or less work perhaps than what you do with Dancing with the Stars on television. I mean, you have a lot of rehearsal days with Dancing with the Stars. Maybe that's harder work, but I'm sort of curious, Val, when are there rotating people? Like, for example, when Max is here, you know, everybody's going to want to watch you and your brother do your things. Is it a matter of, yeah, it's okay, we can do eight shows a week. You know, it's not a problem. Or do you have times where you say, we got to rotate some other folks in here?
I mean, it's a challenge that I've kind of signed up for prior to making these decisions in real time. You know, I mean, God forbid there's an injury or something like that. Obviously, we're gonna adjust. But for the most part, I'm committed to eight shows a week. It's definitely a larger amount than I've ever done. I mean, even on tour, we have maybe seven shows max, six.
Is it harder than your prep for Dancing with the Stars? I mean, I guess I'm combining the whole time.
No, not the TV show.
Okay.
The TV show is draining in other ways. But there's a physicality to this. You know, there's a physical demand to eight shows a week, besides emotional, obviously. But this is what I'm here for. This show and this time has my undivided attention and my undivided emotion. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited that I have the privilege to isolate my life in a way. And again, having my wife be featured in the show as well and having our son here allows me for that. But it's a huge privilege to be able to really kind of give yourself those blinders and really focus all your energy and passion into this project.
And Artem, actually, you married a dancer with Dancing with the Stars. Is that a requirement that all you guys marry somebody else who's dancing in the show?
Oh, no. My wife is not a dancer. She became a dancer.
Oh, the other way. Okay.
Yeah, but she's a former wrestler. She's here as well with my son too. So it's very fortunate when you actually can do things like that. You realize, I think, later in life, when opportunities like this come along, how fortunate you are to have people who do support you in what you do and giving you that opportunity to be able to focus 100% on the project you're part of right now. Because those opportunities doesn't come very often, you know, and I think it's important to realize, and it's important to give that freedom to fully be committed to this mentally, physically. But for me personally, the show is, if it's harder or not, as Val mentioned, it's very different from the tours and it's very different from Dancing with the show. I think what's different about this specific is that you kind of feel the weight on your shoulders to represent a certain way and have a certain standard that you're going to be performing every night. And you have that responsibility to almost kind of like set the bar, you know, and you kind of have to continue elevating that bar higher and higher and higher, because there is no cost of like 20 people who are individual based on individual person, you know. So I think there is a certain part of it is, it is challenging, and I think that's what's challenging about. But as a physicality itself, I mean, we're all athletes. We've done this for a very long time. As a physical ability, I think we're definitely more than capable to do so. Like, I think well more capable to do so. So it show doesn't necessarily is like, oh, it's a crazy amount. But, you know, I think if you put everything in one thing, it just comes across like, oh, that seems a lot. But in the end of the day, if you enjoy it and if you do what you love doing, and if you feel that feedback and response from the audience, it's worth every second.
It's all about. By the way, Artem, since your wife was a wrestler, do you make sure you don't anger her? And if you do, do you always say you're sorry before you get taken down?
Sure, I'd say yes.
Because well, you know, if she goes into position, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, I get the headlock right away.
Now, this, I don't mean for this question to sound stupid. It really is a sincere question, because on Dancing with the Stars, you get judged every week. You know, you have the celebrity judges and all of that. The audience doesn't judge you except with their applause, or, you know, it's different. But I'm sort of curious, do you care about getting judged on the TV show? Is that a pressure that gets added on, or and you prefer, therefore, these shows where you're not being judged? Is it an irrelevant factor?
What is that phrase in Russian? It's like a good comment or good feedback will always feel good, you know? Like, I will never decline a positive feedback to my effort. But I do have to check myself quite a bit when I am receiving. Are you talking about from the judges or just the
general? I'm comparing the notion of, and I not realize it's a television, I don't mean to be going after that, but the notion of these judges in a, for example, imagine if the audience at Sabre was asked to hold up signs from 1 to 10 or something.
Yeah, I mean, if they had to hold up, I'm pouring every ounce of me out on that stage, and partially, and it's a 50-50 thing, 50% for, well, no, more than, it's a different breakup. Part of it is for my own integrity and for my own self-respect. Part of it is for my incredible responsibility I feel to Swanee and the story that he wrote and the show that I am a part of, representing his craft and work and my peers. You know, I'm the show is only as good as your weakest link. I'm not trying to be that weak link, right? So yeah. I want to, by example, and I want to pour everything. And then the last one is my responsibility to the audience, you know, the time that they're spending is, you know, coming to see me, and also the hard earned money that they've spent to come see me. And I'm trying to justify all three of those things. Whether I want their satisfaction after that, In numerical form, not really. You know, to me, like I said, I want them to walk away saying that they didn't waste 2 hours of their, or an hour and a half of their time, that they didn't waste their hard-earned money. I want Swanee to walk away, and like he's done that opening night, he went backstage and with tears in his eyes, he told us, you know, that we gave him that perfect show and how grateful he is that we were, you know, that we did that with his work. And then lastly, I go to sleep at night knowing that, you know, I I'm drenched from effort. Those three things check off and I am fulfilled.
I love it. Artem, just a question about the judges. I mean, when Len passed, you could see there was an episode in which there was a tribute to him. That hit everybody. I mean, that was not just the loss of a castmate or something like that. I mean, that love for Len seemed incredibly real.
It is. Look, I think he's the face of Dancing with the Stars. You know, he's the guy who is the head of the judges, and his opinion mattered the most in the sense that he stick to his guns. He never changed his ideas about dancing and what it should be. And he, I don't know, and he judged in so many countries. And I feel like the show was successful a lot because of him, you know, because what he brought to the dance floor, what he brought with his judging, how he made people feel about his judging. People were always looking forward to his comments, and it meant a lot for them. So I was lucky enough to work with Len, not just on Dancing with the Stars in the US, but I also worked with him on Strictly Come Dancing.
You did in UK.
Yeah. In UK show. And the things about Len, he might seem this like a strict judge, but he was the sweetest, the nicest human you'll ever meet, who cared so much for the craft of dance and the comments that he would give. And at the same time, he was funny. He had like the whole spectrum of like an amazing qualities as a judge, as a human, as a husband, as father. And it's just like every time you find yourself in his company, he always made you feel great.
Yeah, there's an integrity to there was an integrity to his feedback that you knew that he wasn't, you know, it wasn't inflated for TV purposes. It wasn't like twisted for some sort of drama. You knew, you know, what you saw is what you got, you know, and what you heard was the truth. And you were looking for Len's truth as often as possible.
Well, and that's interesting you said that, because I was going to follow up by saying whether it's Len or Bruno, more so those two that perhaps carry on. But when some of the comments given, you know, sometimes it's kind of like Simon Cowell on one of the shows. Sometimes you get a sense they want to be a little sarcastic, whatever, because it's good audience stuff. I do television. I get it. But it sounds like, Artem, from what you were just saying, it's like, or maybe what you're saying, I was like, no, that if he said something to you and it was, my word, sort of insulting or something, he was like, well, that's just what he really felt. He wasn't trying to play to the audience.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That, yeah.
He's very true in reality. His comments and his words. And the best thing about Len, he always stuck to it. And you know, if you change those corrections that he gave you, he will notice the changes. So besides the fact that he was very constructive in his criticism towards mainly celebrities, because you have to understand those people who come on the show, they never really been judged in front of a live audience, and especially at something that they don't do as a craft. You know, right. Not something that's, it's what they do every single day.
Yeah, so Barry Williams was a Brady. He came out of nowhere for this one.
It's really important to be very constructive towards people, because they come with a certain insecurities again, and they do something they don't usually do. So it's important for them to have that feedback, especially if they change, that the judge, they see the reflection of that and can say like, you've done it, you changed it, what I asked for. And I feel like with Len, it happened almost instantly, you know, when he give the correction, people know exactly what to do, and they will get rewarded. They're doing the work. So it was very constructive and very, you know, you appreciate that from a judge.
Just one more judge question, Val. This may not be fair, but I'll try it. You know, when you meet people like Len, who are, they're judges from day one, right? Season one, day one, there's my judge. But then, of course, from time to time, Derek and Julianne Hough, and, you know, when they come in, they're like, well, no, wait a minute. You were just on this stage a year ago with me, and now you're judging. Is there any sort of competition? Is it sort of like, now you're a judge, I buy that? Or is there a sense of, come on, you know exactly what I'm going through? You know, the different relationship when one of your former colleague dancers is judging?
Yes, there's definitely a different relationship. I'm going to pivot back to why Len was so significant, is because he actually judged us in real competitions outside of Hollywood and outside of the show. You know, he was a judge in a very prestigious competition called Blackpool, or the British Open. It's like the Wimbledon of ballroom dance community. It's the longest running event since, I think, the 20s. So it's a very prestigious event, and everyone tries to win, again, just like in Wimbledon. And he was an adjudicator there for many years. So he's, you know, I have real respect for him and his opinion on my dancing way before Dancing with the Stars. With all due respect to every single other person that sat on in those seats and gave us feedback, I took it exactly as that. It's feedback, their personal opinions, but it's not something that I hold to a certain standard in which I'm going to go back to and really, you know, try to figure out how to change my structure to better suit that feedback. To me, again, I appreciate the feedback. Thank you for your opinion. You know, with Len, it was more than just an opinion. It was a guidance, and a guidance that you took very seriously.
But what a beautiful comment, and explains so much how that loss was so visible to people like me who watched it and watched your reactions. I understand that now better from hearing you. Artem, working with professionals as you are in Saber is one thing. And of course, trying to train goofy people like me who are trying to pretend we can dance, you know, that kind of thing. But so they're very different. But do you love each of those challenges? Or would you say, actually, when I'm on stage with Saber After Hours, this is where I come alive. I'm with my peers.
Well, I think they kind of bring a different part of you that got challenged. Like when you're on Saber and you're back up stage, you really feel like you, besides like you're a competitor dancer where you have to really be so good at your craft and you try to really perfect each single move and again keep to a certain level. When you're on a show like Dancing with the Stars and you have somebody who is maybe not as experienced in dancing, it becomes about different strong suits. You know, what this person is good, like what is an actor? Can it reenact stuff? Or is it performer or comedian or athlete? Or you try to figure it out what they're good at and try to really portray that, what they're known for. Like a perfect example I had in one of the seasons, Patti LaBelle.
Oh, wow, yeah.
No, and in reality, when I first time get to, you know Patti LaBelle, when you walk into the room, you see a certain challenges right away. Like it's an older person, so you have to be limited with a certain moves. And our first 2 days of rehearsals were very challenging because one of them she had to cut in shorter because she was getting dizzy and throwing up. So you're like, okay, there's definitely physical challenges. But then one, get to know them so well, because I actually went to see one of her concerts shortly
after. She's a legend.
And when she stood on that dance floor, she was who she was, what she's known for. And I literally, we met backstage afterwards and like, Patti, how is that when we're on the dance floor, when I'm teaching you dancing, it's you're not Patti, you're some. And she's like, well, because I'm doing something I'm not familiar with. And then my complete thought of teaching and what I should be getting out of that person completely changed. And I said, look, I don't want to ever lose Patti as Patti. Yeah, we're going to have to do certain steps, but I want Patti LaBelle to be first, you know? And as soon as we got that balance and got that understanding of it, all of a sudden it clicked and she was loving it and she was doing dancing and she was doing her own little moves in some places. So she felt like she's still being her. So I think it's important to find who you have this season, what their strongest suits and how you can actually make them shine.
What a great point. And Val, by the way, so if you are, when I think back over the years, you've been doing this for so long, in the years that perhaps you had somebody legendary, maybe older, but legendary, and a Florence Henderson would not, you know, does that impact you? Do you sort of like, you know, people just want to enjoy watching this legend that I get to be with here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my approach to all the seasons is to, you know, analyze the person I'm working with and try to see what, you know, what strong suits I want to, you know, really embellish and highlight, and whatever disadvantages or kind of challenges we have, how I could camouflage them in choreography or in other ways and creative direction. And, you know, my whole job is to make them feel and look their absolute best. So it's not about the cha-cha. It's not about the judges. It's not about what I want. It's about giving them an experience they will never forget and they will feel really good about. That's it. I'm at their service. I'm not at the service of my ego wanting to win again, or at the service of production wanting to do a great show. My number one person is my partner. They have sacrificed probably their time from family to do this project. They probably looked forward to doing this project. A lot of them have watched the show for a long time and couldn't wait to be part of it. I don't want them to come in and just have the worst time in the world. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to take it easy all the time, but I'm going to earn my voice. I'm going to earn my demands, if you will. And it's all going to reflect off of how much they want it and what they want out of it.
It's beautiful. I'm sorry that we've lost our time, but I love this conversation. Saber After Hours is playing through August 18th, BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets. What a thrill to be with you. Bolshoi spasibo to both of you. And you were going to say pozhulsta back, right?
No.
I just want to show. I know a little Russian, little language there. Thank you, gentlemen. Break legs. Oh no, can you say that? And it's a theater thing. Break legs.
Break like, yeah. Well, actually, I don't know. I've been told what break leg mean.
Yeah. Okay, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Great thing. It's the leg when of the you curve. Do a bow. Well, actually, no. Apparently, I've been told by one of my actually first partners in Dancing with the Stars, Lee Thompson, when you bow, you break a leg.
So exactly. I think that we're going to get cut off automatically. I didn't want that explanation to get cut off. So we're good. But have a great time doing the show.